Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Keon Brewer. Keon Brewer is the host of the Keyword Is podcast, which you can find on Anchor. And once you go on Anchor, there's a link there where you can click. You can find it on Spotify or other platforms. So I'm so excited to talk to Keon today. And so welcome, Keon, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thank you. I've listened to some of your podcasts yesterday, and I don't know if I text that to you or if I just put it on the thing here. I appreciate how honest and out there you put your story, and I know that can be, especially when I listen to Triggered, that can be very, you know, emotional, and people try to stay away from emotion and run away from it, and you just basically like take it heads on, and I like that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I try to be as transparent as possible, you know, while still trying to, I guess, keep a little bit of, you know, my business to myself, but but you know, I try to put it out there so people can know, like, that this stuff is for real. Like, it's how it is, like, in real life. A lot of people experience the same stuff.
Right, and I do appreciate that, because a lot of people experience the same stuff, but then they don't, since they don't tell the story, and people feel alone, and then people also feel like it's a myth, or if you mention things like that, people feel like it's an attack. So it's good when people say, hey, this is my story, so no one can feel attacked because you're telling your story, basically.
Exactly. It's just my experiences. Like,
yeah, that's awesome. So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
Well, I'm Keon, like you said. What brings me joy is mainly my family. I have three kids, one on the way.
Tell us about your... Okay, so I know earlier on you say you're not putting too much out there. So with that question, of course, any question I ask, you don't need to answer them. But it's a question I ask every guest now. So tell us about your shame, guilt, judgment, and fear.
Not trying to give the difficult answer here, but I literally don't carry shame. I do have fears. I don't carry shame because I believe in, like, the plan. So for me, I'm like, everything you do leads to something else. And sometimes with that, I can think a little bit too deep on it. But I don't think that, personally, I don't think anybody should have shame with anything they do, because when you do it, it leads to something else. And if you didn't do that thing, whatever it is that you're carrying shame about, the next thing that's supposed to happen won't happen, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do in the plan. But I can give you a fear. A fear of mine is getting... I have an addictive personality. So for me, a fear of mine is getting so hooked to something, not necessarily a drug, but it could be even like money. It could be like the chase for something. Like, my fear is getting so hooked to something that I let everything else go and only focus on one thing. And I don't think that anybody can be very like functional if you only focused on one thing. You got to focus on multiple things at a time. And I feel like with me, the way my personality is, and once I find something that I want to do, I get hooked to it. But I feel like it could get to a point, if I let myself go, it could get to a point where I'm so hooked to doing this one thing or trying to figure this one thing out that I just forget about everything else and only do that one thing. And actually, it reminds me of, there was a point in my life where I literally, and this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, like when I was around my last year in college, I was literally trying to figure out the answer to everything that doesn't have an answer. Like, and it sounds crazy, but my mind was going so far because I was trying to figure out everything in the world. And it's literally impossible. But I was trying to figure out everything in the world to a point where I was losing focus on real life, just trying to figure things out. Why do people think a certain way? Why do people do what they do? And I mean, and I was connected to real life, so that was kind of making it a problem too, because I was, if someone did me wrong, I'm trying to figure out their brain. But you can't do that with everybody in the world. You know what I mean?
Right. And we have similarities with what you just mentioned. And well, one thing you're saying is something like it's impossible that you cannot, how you call it? I don't remember exactly, but something you say it's not possible. I feel that because of now growing up in the 90s and living in this era that we're living now, it's kind of like mouth opening, and in 20 more years is going to be mouth opening probably for your children. It's going to be like so much better in technology and so much like, oh my God, like how did we get here? And so I feel like anything is possible because I have the proof in front of me tangibly. And also spiritually, I feel like anything is possible because we are the universe and we're part of life and we're part of the bird that's around there, or the worm, or the dirt, or the tree. And so because we have, and we have intelligence, and because we have for some reason, a limited sense of, okay, this is my limit. Like, you know, when they say the ceiling is a limit, I grew up saying there's no limit. The sky is not the limit. There's no ceiling, because why put a limit on ourselves? Where 100 years ago, if someone said flying is impossible, and then those two brothers, they went out and do it, and other people got inspired by them, and now we have jets. Now we had airplanes. I think in the early 90s, I don't know if you remember them, from France to New York in 3 hours. Like, no, yeah. Like, people can only dream about those things. So I think things are impossible to the amount of where our brain can go at the moment. But then your children in 20 years, they will do things, and then you're going to be like, wow, like, yeah. So with that point, and when you're talking about doing something and then so much that you'll run with it. Yeah. I think it's beautiful, and I love that. And I also love how you are mindful about it, because you don't want it to run with your life either.
Right.
But I think what I'm seeing is, at least with myself, that's being driven, and that's having a purpose. And that's because when you're driven and you're doing things, you are focusing on it and you do your best, and it becomes like a great work because you're just putting your all to it. And being mindful, not having it owning you, is a great thing. And as you're being mindful about that, so that's awesome. I love that. So tell us about your childhood.
So my childhood, living in my childhood was great. Like everything, I mean, it was me and my mom until I was like 8, and then my brother was born. And to me, I didn't necessarily see, well, I saw the struggle, but I didn't feel the struggle. You know what I mean? Like, there was some struggle that happened. Like, in no way were we ever poor, you know, nothing like that. But the everyday struggles, I didn't recognize because all of the highlights, like, really 100% outweighed any struggle. Like, it's not necessarily normal to live in a extended stay hotel, but that's the kind of stuff that happened from the age of maybe 3 to like 5, something like that. Like, we stayed in, the first memories that I remember is living with my grandmother, my mom, but that's kind of how things went for a little bit. And when I saw them, it was all good. You know, I loved it. Every kid wants their mom and dad. You know what I mean? When I was young, a lot of times I'd be like, not even a lot of times, but as a youngin', I was waiting like on my dad. You know what I mean? And to me, I wasn't seeing early on that he was flaking on me. You know what I mean? I wasn't seeing that. I was just seeing like, I wish, like, I'm seeing like, why can't I go with him? And what's going on every time I talk to him and he's giving me these promises to where I don't see him. So when I was 4 years old, my mom, she started dating my brother's dad, which is who I look at like my actual dad. And, you know, we became close. He did all the things that a dad's supposed to do, like for me, as far as showing me different things, you know, video games, just the boy stuff, you know, video games. He showed me wrestling and football and all that stuff like that. He's the reason that I have a lot of the interest that I have now, because he just showed me a lot of different things. And growing up, you know, I think kids need that. They need their mom and their dad for, I mean, it's so many things that they need them for. Like, because the way I look at kids is you're nothing but 50% of your mom and 50% of your dad. Like, that's all you are. That's what you're made up of. And you need those two people in your life more than you need anybody else. But of course, as a youth, I didn't see it like that. So, either way, fast forward a little bit.
Before you fast forward, so I have a question for you. So, what happened to your brother's?
My brother's dad.
Yeah, like, where is he now?
It's such a, it's such like a sort of a sad story with him. Not sad. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's like somewhere with him and my mom breaking up, which came like they were together for probably 10 years, if I'm counting right. And they broke up, and somewhere in there, he kind of lost himself. And, you know, he didn't like do anything to harm himself. He didn't get on drugs, nothing like that, but he just became, he went into a shell and was no longer connected to the real world. How you doing? Thanks. You too. And
So therefore, he's no longer in your life growing up as a teenager.
I won't say he wasn't in my life, but it was nowhere near how it was when I was a youngin'. And the part that makes that the sad story is that means he missed a lot of my brother's youth. And I feel more bad for that because, you know, he's not my biological dad, but his biological son, which is my brother, he wasn't really there like he should have been. He was there, you know, he'd come around and he, you know, do holidays and birthdays, stuff like that. But I think every kid deserves a little bit more than that. My view on parenting is just like, it might be a little, I wouldn't even call it extreme, because it's how I was raised with my mom. Like, you know, my mom showed me that your kids come first, no matter what, because your kids depend on you for everything in the world. And with him, you know, I love him. I love him to death. And my brother loves him to death. But he kind of dropped the ball when it comes to, you know, being there for his son. He was there for me. But when it comes to being there for his son, he kind of dropped the ball just looking at it, when I look at it.
So what happened to your biological dad around that story?
Well, there was a lot of him just nowhere to be found. And from the age of probably, I say seventh grade, so that's probably like, what is that, like 11 or something like that. There was a time where I was very vocal to my friends, like, I hate my dad. And, you know, that wasn't a true feeling, but it was a strong feeling of, why is he not around? You know what I mean? Because once you get to 11 and 12 and 13 years old, you're seeing your friend's dad, you know, come pick him up from school. They might bring him some lunch or something like that. Just little stuff like that you're seeing, and you're like, okay, you know what I'm saying? My mom, she does whatever, but where my dad at? I know I got one. I met him. I talked to him before. Where is he at? You know what I mean? And what's actually interesting about that same time frame is me and my dad, we had a talk about, you mentioned the Triggered episode. We had a talk about that podcast, because, you know, he's telling me like, oh, you can't put that stuff out there. You know what I mean? You can't be saying that about me. And I'm like, I'm telling him, well, I'm not saying anything untrue about you. I'm not saying anything. I'm not bashing you. I'm just telling my experiences. And something that seemed small that I brought up to him that actually meant a lot was around that same age, I can't remember if it was middle school, sixth or seventh grade, somewhere in there. There was a point where he was coming to school, picking me up in the middle of the day, every Wednesday, and taking me to get a haircut. And that lasted for, like I said, it was every week. That lasted for maybe 6 weeks, so like about a month and a half. And then he just stopped. Now, as an 11-year-old, I don't understand certain things like, oh, maybe his shift changed. You know what I mean? Maybe he had more things going on during the day where he wasn't available to do that. But the explanation, I never got an explanation. It just stopped all of a sudden, and then next thing you know, I don't hear from him again until high school. You know what I mean? So we talking 3 or 4 years of the last time we talked was you telling me, yeah, I'm on the way to come get you. You don't come, and then I don't hear from you again until you pop up at one of my football games. You know what I mean? So there were many periods during my childhood where he just was just nowhere to be found. And it was always like that. It was like that from super young, like I said, waiting on the porch for him to come get me, to college. There was, I mean, all throughout my life, he would pop in for a second. And it's like, you're my dad. It's not a pop-in kind of thing. You got to be there all the time.
Come with me to a place where you will find love and acceptance. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, you'll be redeemed with all. unconditional love. All you need is your belief of self-worth. Accept yourself and love what is.
Did you talk to him about it then, like high school and college, when you could?
We had one fallout when I was in high school, and the way it went was, it was a football game. He came to it. We were playing a crosstown rival, and so it was a big game, and we lost. So my mom's in the crowd, you know. I think she was sitting like right above him or right below him or something. And he was talking, you know, just talking junk basically. But it got too far. Like, it started going further, like past just regular junk talk. And it became them two going back and forth. And the way it was presented to me was, two of my cousins were there with my mom. They come to me like out of breath, like, come get your dad, come get your dad. I'm like, okay, well, you know what I'm saying? What's going on? And then, so as we're walking for me to go figure out what's going on, here's my mom. She wasn't crying, but she had the you know, the stressed face that looked like she was so mad that some tears was about to come. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? This is my mom. I do not play about my mom. So I'm like, what's going on? So I get to him and, you know, I just approach him and I say, what's the problem? And he said, you tell me, what's the problem? What's the problem, huh? I'm like, okay. Like I said, this is how it's being presented to me. I didn't even see what was going on before that. I'm like, what's the problem? And he like, you tell me. And I'm like, okay. I don't know what happened. All I know is my mom is upset. My cousins are upset. So what I'm going to tell you is, you weren't here before. You've never been in my life. You don't got to come around now. And I said, you feel me? He said, no, I don't feel you. Tell him what you mean. What you saying? I said, you weren't here before. I don't need you to be here now. Do you understand? No, I don't understand. Tell me what you're trying to say. And everybody around me, because at this point we have a little crowd, you know what I mean? It's like a little circle. Everybody around me is like, he said it. What do you mean? I said, stay out of my life. I don't need you to be here. And he said, that's what's up. And he shook my hand. And I probably didn't hear that. After that, I probably didn't hear from him until I was like 15. I probably didn't hear from him again until I was going to college, so like 18. So like 3 more years. That's always the kind of stuff that I never understood, because with my kids now, I have little kids, 3, 2, and 1. But if my kids ever try to dismiss me out of their life, I'll give them the night. You know what I mean? Like, if they say, don't talk to me the rest of the night, they close their door or whatever. But in the morning, I'm going to say, you want some eggs? You know what I mean? Let's go get some breakfast. Whatever it is. There's no way I could just banish for 3 years. Like, that part is insane to me.
Right, yeah. So what's your relationship with him now? Like, since you both adults and, you know, like, have you or him thought of getting on the table and, like, talk and fixing things? Because
Well, now our relationship is 1,000% better. It's more like the things were put out there, the way I felt coming up my whole life, all of that was put on the table. Like I said, we had a conversation, right after the Triggered episode, and all of that stuff was put out on the table, and the conversation itself in the time wasn't productive because of our personalities. We are way too much alike is what the thing is. So when we're talking, me and him are talking back and forth, I'm getting my point across, and he's telling me something that has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I'm hearing what he's saying, and to me it sounds like excuses, but to him it's just reasoning. But either way, you know, that actual conversation wasn't productive, but the aftermath of the conversation made things way better between me and him, because I think it made him see me as a man and as a father, and not just, because like I said, if you come in spotty like that, you won't actually see me develop. So you won't see me turn from a kid to a teenager and a teenager to a man. You just see me as the last time you saw me. You know what I mean? So if you saw me at 10 years old, and the next thing you know, you see me at 15, you're not seeing me as a teenager now. You're seeing me as that little kid. And I think that me and him having a real conversation and putting our feelings out there made it to where there was a bit more understanding of, you know, the past and why things went how they went.
So you say things are better 1,000% now. Do you mean like now he's a father in your life, or is he just someone else at work, kind of a relationship? How's the relationship? Are you guys like having father and son things?
It's not quite like I would want a father. He's doing the best he can do, but it's not as low as like just someone at work. It's somewhere in between. Like it's like a friend. Like we can talk. And then what helps a lot is that I have kids now, so it's different when you're a grandfather and when you're a father, because you don't hold the responsibility as a grandfather. You can kind of just enjoy those grandkids. And I see that, you know what I mean? He checks up on them. You know, it's not necessarily me and him talking so much, because we still don't, we talk, but we don't talk. Like, I talk to my mom every day. Like, of course, it's different to compare your relationship with your mom and your dad, but I talk to my mom every day and throughout the day. So I talk to her, like, a lot. But with him, it's just every so often. You know, I'll send him a picture of my kids, or he might invite me to some function, you know, 4th of July or you know, Thanksgiving, stuff like that. He'll invite me to it. But I think it's just better that we're adults now, and it's not like me looking for my dad, because that's what it was before, and that's what caused like the anger and the animosity, because I'm like, yo, where's my dad? Why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? But now I'm not expecting that from him, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit different.
So where is your stepfather?
He's always available. He's just doing his thing. You know, he's working, and he has a couple more kids now, younger kids. But if you call him, he picks up the phone. Me and him, our bond is he gives me a lot of knowledge. You know what I mean? When I need some guidance about something, I can go to him because of how he looks at the world. He can be easily misunderstood. If you don't know him, you might think that he's just like, I don't know, like crazy or something. But if you know him, you know how his brain works, and he's brilliant. That's the thing. It's like he's almost too smart for the world, if that makes sense. Like,
at 100%, because I know, and I've seen that, and I've seen people talk about it, and I've seen it, and I've talked to people, the brilliant people of the world who create this one we're talking in the computer we have and the automobiles, they're the crazies of the world. They're the misunderstood of the world. And exactly. The normal people are the ones who are riding on the tailcoat of the crazy people. But then they are pushed outside and say, oh, you're weird, you're a geek. That's why they have word for them. You're a geezer, you're a geek, you're a weirdo and all this stuff. But they're the ones who, have the 500 Fortune companies, like literally. So right. I totally...
They brain is just wired differently in that way. Like,
yeah, I totally get it. Just like Einstein, he didn't have a bunch of entourage and friends. Now we celebrate him, but he was a, you know, he was a weirdo, but now we celebrate him. But as he was leaving, probably people were like, "Ew, who come? There goes that weirdo," you know?
Yeah.
So, so what's the relationship with your stepdad and his son? Is your stepbrother is having the same issue as he did with your dad?
Well, that's my brother.
Uh-huh.
That's my stepdad, but that's my actual brother.
Oh, your actual brother from your... Yeah.
We share the same mom.
Oh, okay, so...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But you don't share the same dad.
Right. Yeah, right. So, it's my real brother. Like, you know, we grew up in the same house, everything. But we just have different dads. But I look at his dad as my dad, is how it goes. But
what's his relationship with his dad?
It's the same kind of thing. Well, let me not say it's the same kind of thing. His relationship is much better now with him because my brother is 19. So it's a lot better now because the older you get, the more you're able to just like understand how things work and you're able to like express how you feel about stuff. So you don't have to like I said, you're not looking for dad. You know what I mean? You kind of just, you know your dad. They're a lot alike. So it kind of helps in that way because my brother, he can get a little bit secluded sometimes. You know, he has friends and everything. He's still young, so it's a little different. But so he understands how his dad works. And the way that they interact a lot is like through video games. And it's the same with me and his dad. We might get on the game and play online, you know what I mean? All three of us will play sometimes, and that kind of stuff brings us together. And it sounds simple or maybe even silly to some people who don't play games, but that stuff is real. Like you hop on the game with if I hop on the game with my brother or his dad, we could be up for 3 hours playing, and it's just, we're just having a good time. And that's how me and my stepdad's relationship kind of started, and it's kind of where it's at now. Like, we just play the game together, and we might talk while we play. You know, I let him know what's going on in my life, and you just kind of bond like that.
Yeah,
it's the same with him and his dad, my brother and his dad.
Interesting. I grew up in a two-parent family home, and I did not have a close relationship with my dad, although I wanted to. He was my best friend, but he was kind of like, it's hard to explain. It's like, I would, in my imagination, it's like he's someone that I'm looking from afar, that I'm like, he's my best friend, but he's my imaginary best friend, although he was because he was there physically, but not there emotionally and therefore, I feel. And he has 7 children, so maybe he had too much of his hands, and I'm the last one. You know, sometimes they say the first one and the last ones get the short stick of the thing. So, but yeah. But I'm so grateful. Growing up and later on in high school and in college, learning that how a lot, especially black people, don't have father figures in the house. So it was very, I had to basically count my blessing and be like, you know, although I would love him to be my best friend and be my friend, but at least he's there physically. So I was like counting my blessing that way. But it would be nice if I had a relationship with him, which I did not. Yeah, so what is your relationship with your mother and your two dads?
Both of those relationships have gotten significantly better as the kids got older. And it's because once you take like emotion and misunderstandings out of things and you're able to just talk as adults who share something, you're able to have a better relationship. So with them, they're able to, at this point, like share moments. Like now that I have kids, so now my dad can look at my mom and it's like, oh, look at our grandkids. You know what I'm saying? And even my stepdad, like, because we're so close, he looks at my kids as his grandkids too. So it's like, oh, look at our grandkids. You know what I mean? So if nothing else, my kids definitely helped their relationships.
I was thinking, wouldn't that be so convenient as soon as you guys grow up, now there's a relationship?
Yeah, that's, I think like once you get the, I guess, I don't want to say pressure, but I guess it is kind of pressure. Like once the pressure comes off of them of, oh, you know, your kid needs this, your kid needs that. Like, they don't necessarily have to help now because we're grown, functioning adults. So it's no longer looking for help. And my mom, she never necessarily needed help, but everybody can use help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's like,
yeah, especially when it's like, you know, y'all share a kid, so you should help. But
yeah,
it's like, you know, now that pressure's off, you know, I'm grown, my brother's grown, they don't need help. She doesn't need, like, help anymore. So now it's like, okay, hey, you know, we're cool now. Let's just talk about our kids.
Wow, your mother's strong.
Yeah, very strong.
I mean, at some point, even in me in my life, I practice for forgiveness and moving on and accepting things. That's, like, some deep stuff.
Yeah, she's taught me to not hold a grudge. Because it's not going to do anything but literally, you know, in a sense, make you rot. Because you're so worried about this relationship or how this person did you wrong, but nothing is going to change what already happened. So you can't really worry about, you know, what this person did to you or why a relationship didn't work or whatever. You kind of just got to move on and keep living your own life.
Yeah, totally. And, And I guess also, it does not mean, in my experience, it does not mean that you need to have that person in your life unless they change. Because I've had relationships where people, with words, are like, oh, I'll change. Or I'll come back. And then every time it's the same story. It's like, do you understand that your action speaks louder than your words? And some people don't understand that. And then so they are in your life as a hindrance or to push your buttons instead of to actually play their role.
Yeah, and benefit you. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, unfortunately, like with my dad, he had to kind of mature a little bit. Not saying he was, you know, not a man or whatever, but he kind of had to mature as a father and kind of realize like, okay, you know, I kind of messed up right there, but now I can not necessarily make things better, but now I can just move on and let this relationship be what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about or talked to your parents about maybe that's a product of environment of because of, as we know, let me read it here. The statistics is like 67% of black children do not have a father in the house. Like, do you guys talk about that? It was a product of environment, or was it an individual case?
Come with me to a place where you will find love and acceptance. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, you'll be redeemed with unconditional love. All you need is your belief of self-worth. Accept yourself and love what is.
Like, what was his father in his life?
Yeah, his, because kind of like maybe his father did that, and there's been two dads, and that happens again basically because they're not when I left my parents' house at 19 and a half, my sister, who stayed until she was married, like 30 something, and she told me how they finally separated because I was the last one to leave, and they were holding on, making sure we don't see those kind of things, and apparently they were not happy. And I'm very grateful for that. But as we statistics have it, 67, that's huge number. And and I see it, like, I think when I was going to high school, many, like, me having a father or a dad, I was a dinosaur. It's not a dinosaur, but like a weird thing, like
unicorn.
Yeah, unicorn. So did you guys talk about those, basically those things, or was it an individual case?
Well, how can I put it? Like, both of them, my dad and my stepdad, they both had their dads in their life, but they didn't, and rest in peace to my dad's dad. He passed away, earlier this year, but.
Wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Keon Brewer. Keon Brewer is the host of the Keyword Is podcast, which you can find on Anchor. And once you go on Anchor, there's a link there where you can click. You can find it on Spotify or other platforms. So I'm so excited to talk to Keon today. And so welcome, Keon, to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thank you. I've listened to some of your podcasts yesterday, and I don't know if I text that to you or if I just put it on the thing here. I appreciate how honest and out there you put your story, and I know that can be, especially when I listen to Triggered, that can be very emotional, and people try to stay away from emotion and run away from it, and you just basically like take it heads on, and I like that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I try to be as transparent as possible, you know, while still trying to, I guess, keep a little bit of, you know, my business to myself, but you know, I try to put it out there so people can know, like, that this stuff is for real, like, it's how it is, like, in real life. A lot of people experience the same stuff.
Right, and I do appreciate that, because a lot of people experience the same stuff, but then they don't, since they don't tell the story, and people feel alone, and then people also feel like it's a myth. Or if you mention things like that, people feel like it's an attack. So it's good when people say, hey, this is my story. So no one can feel attacked because you're telling your story, basically.
Exactly. It's just my experiences. Like,
yeah, that's awesome. So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
Well, I'm Keon, like you said. What brings me joy is mainly my family. I have three kids, one on the way.
Tell us about your... Okay, so I know earlier on you say you're not putting too much out there. So with that question, of course, any question I ask you, don't need to answer them.
But it's a question I ask every guest now. So tell us about your shame, guilt, judgment, and fear.
Not trying to give the difficult answer here, but I literally don't carry shame. I do have fears. I don't carry shame because I believe in, like, the plan. So for me, I'm like, everything you do leads to something else. And sometimes with that, I can think a little bit too deep on it. But I don't think that, personally, I don't think anybody should have shame with anything they do, because when you do it, it leads to something else. And if you didn't do that thing, whatever it is that you're carrying shame about, the next thing that's supposed to happen won't happen because you didn't do what you're supposed to do in the plan. But I can give you a fear. A fear of mine is getting... I have an addictive personality. So for me, a fear of mine is getting so hooked to something, not necessarily a drug, but it could be even like money. It could be like, it could be like the chase for something. Like, my fear is getting so hooked to something that I let everything else go and only focus on one thing. And I don't think that anybody can be very, like, functional if you only focus on one thing. You got to focus on multiple things at a time. And I feel like with me, the way my personality is, and once I find something that I want to do, I get hooked to it. But I feel like it could get to a point, if I let myself go, it could get to a point where I'm so hooked to doing this one thing or trying to figure this one thing out that I just forget about everything else and only do that one thing. And actually, it reminds me of, there was a point in my life where I literally, and this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, like when I was around my last year in college, I was literally trying to figure out the answer to everything that doesn't have an answer. Like, and it sounds crazy, but my mind was going so far because I was trying to figure out everything in the world, and it's literally impossible, but I was trying to figure out everything in the world to a point where I was losing focus on real life, just trying to figure things out. Why do people think a certain way? Why do people do what they do? And I mean, and I was connected to real life, so that was kind of making it a problem too, because I was, if someone did me wrong, I'm trying to figure out their brain. But you can't do that with everybody in the world. You know what I mean?
Right. And we have similarities with what you just mentioned. And, well, one thing you're saying is something like it's impossible that you cannot, how you call it? I don't remember exactly, but something you say it's not possible. I feel that because of now growing up, in the 90s and living in this era that we're living now, it's kind of like mouth opening, and in 20 more years it's gonna be mouth opening probably for your children. It's gonna be like so much better in technology and so much like, oh my god, like how did we get here? And so I feel like anything is possible because I have the proof in front of me tangibly, and also spiritually I feel like anything is possible because we are the universe and we're part of life, and we're part of the bird that's around there, or the worm, or the dirt, or the tree. And so because we have, and we have intelligence, and because we have for some reason, a limited sense of, okay, this is my limit. Like, you, when they say the ceiling is a limit, I grew up saying there's no limit. The sky is not the limit. There's no ceiling, because why put a limit on ourselves? Where 100 years ago, if someone said flying is impossible, and then those two brothers, they went out and do it, and other people got inspired by them, and now we have jets. Now we have, right. Now we had airplanes, I think in the early 90s, I don't know if you remember them, from France to New York in 3 hours. Like, no, like people can only dream about those things. So I think things are impossible to the amount of where our brain can go at the moment. But then your children in 20 years, they will do things and then you're going to be like, wow, like, yeah. So with that point, and when you're talking about doing something and then so much that you'll run with it. Yeah. I think it's beautiful and I love that. And I also love how you are mindful about it because you don't want it to run with your life either.
Right.
But I think what I'm seeing is, at least with myself, that's being driven. And that's having a purpose, and that's because when you're driven and you're doing things, you are focusing on it and you do your best, and it becomes like a great work because you're just putting your all to it. And being mindful, not having it owning you, is a great thing. And as you're being mindful about that, so that's awesome. I love that. So tell us about your childhood.
So my childhood, living in my childhood was great. Like everything, I mean, it was me and my mom until I was like 8, and then my brother was born. And to me, I didn't necessarily see, well, I saw the struggle, but I didn't feel the struggle. You know what I mean? Like, there was some struggle that happened. Like, in no way were we ever poor. You know, nothing like that. But the everyday struggles, I didn't recognize because all of the highlights, like, really 100% outweighed any struggle. Like, it's not necessarily normal to live in a extended stay hotel. But that's the kind of stuff that happened from the age of maybe 3 to like 5, something like that. Like, we stayed in, the first memories that I remember is living with my grandmother. My mom had me at 19, well, she actually had me at 20, you know, pregnant at 19. My first memories were living at my grandmother's house. And to me, you know, that was fun. That's something that I enjoyed. That's not necessarily what an adult wants. When they have kids, they don't necessarily want to live with their mom. Mm-hmm. But to me, that was fun. That was a good time. You wake up, see your grandma, see your granddad. You know what I mean? It was cool to me. And then, like I said, the next thing that I remember was living in the extended stay hotels, which also was fun to me because hotels are fun for kids. Not knowing that, okay, we're staying here because we can't necessarily get into an apartment right now because of, you know, I'm not seeing the credit problems, you know what I mean? I'm not seeing, you know, issues like that. And then all I knew is that my mom got a new car every 2 years. And I'm not seeing like, oh, it's because she wrecked it or it's because of different lump sums, nothing like that. I'm like, oh, my mom gets a new car all the time and I'm just loving it. Like, but like I said, my childhood was great. I grew up in Charlotte. I was more city. You know, I'm not like from a country town or nothing like that. I grew up in a neighborhood with plenty of kids. I did, you know, we run around, have fun. I played soccer as a youth. And then when I started playing football, that was like when I was like 8 or something like that. That kind of football made a big impact on my life past just sports and athletics. But I'm going off a little bit. Let me bring it back because some of my early memories were me waiting on the porch for my dad. As I don't know if I said that on the triggered episode, but that's kind of how things went for a little bit. And when I saw him, it was all good. You know, I loved it. I'm not, every kid wants their mom and dad. You know what I mean? When I was young, a lot of times I'd be like, not even a lot of times, but as a youngin, I was waiting, like, on my dad, you know what I mean? And to me, I wasn't seeing early on that he was flaking on me, you know what I mean? I wasn't seeing that. I was just seeing, like, I wish, like, I'm seeing, like, why can't I go with him? And what's going on every time I talk to him and he's giving me these promises to where I don't see him. So when I was 4 years old, my mom, she started dating my brother's dad, which is who I look at like my actual dad. And, you know, we became close. He did all the things that a dad's supposed to do, like for me, as far as showing me different things, you know, video games, just the boy stuff, you know, video games. He showed me wrestling and football and all stuff like that. He's the reason that I have a lot of the interest that I have now, because he just showed me a lot of different things. And growing up, you know, I think kids need that. They need their mom and their dad for, I mean, it's so many things that I need them for. Like, because the way I look at kids is you're nothing but 50% of your mom and 50% of your dad. Like, that's all you are. That's what you're made up of. And you need those two people in your life more than you need anybody else. But, of course, as a youth, I didn't see it like that. So, either way, fast forward a little bit.
Before you fast forward, so I have a question for you. So, what happened to your brother's...
My brother's dad?
Yeah, like, where is he now?
It's such a sort of a sad story with him. Not sad, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's like somewhere with him and my mom breaking up, which came, like, they were together for probably 10 years, if I'm counting right. And they broke up, and somewhere in there, he kind of lost himself. And, you know, he didn't, like, do anything to harm himself. He didn't get on drugs, nothing like that. But he just became, he went into a shell and was no longer connected to the real world. How you doing?
So therefore, he's no longer in your life growing up as a teenager?
I won't say he wasn't in my life, but it was nowhere near how it was when I was a youngin'.
Uh-huh.
And the part that makes that the sad story is that means he missed a lot of my brother's youth. And I feel more bad for that because, you know, he's not my biological dad, but his biological son, which is my brother, he wasn't really there like he should have been. He was there, you know, he'd come around and he, you know, do holidays and birthdays, stuff like that. But I think every kid deserves a little bit more than that. My view on parenting is just, like, it might be a little, I wouldn't even call it extreme, because it's how I was raised with my mom. Like, you know, my mom showed me that your kids come first, no matter what, because your kids depend on you for everything in the world. And with him, you know, I love him. I love him to death. And my brother loves him to death. But he kind of dropped the ball when it comes to, you know, being there for his son. He was there for me. But when it comes to being there for his son, he kind of dropped the ball just looking at it, when I look at it.
Mm. So what happened to your biological dad around that story?
Well, there was a lot of him just nowhere to be found. And from the age of probably, I say seventh grade, so that's probably like, what is that, like 11 or something like that. There was a time where I was very vocal to my friends, like, I hate my dad. And, you know, that wasn't a true feeling, but it was a strong feeling of, why is he not around? You know what I mean? Because once you get to 11 and 12 and 13 years old, you're seeing your friend's dad, you know, come pick him up from school. They might bring him some lunch or something like that. Just little stuff like that that you're seeing, and you're like, okay, you know what I'm saying? My mom, she does whatever, but where my dad at? I know I got one. I met him. I've talked to him before. Where is he at? You know what I mean? And what's actually interesting about that same time frame is me and my dad, we had a talk about, you mentioned the Triggered episode. We had a talk about that podcast, because, you know, he's telling me like, oh, you can't put that stuff out there. You know what I mean? You can't be saying that about me. And I'm like, I'm telling him, well, I'm not saying anything untrue about you. I'm not saying anything. I'm not bashing you. I'm just telling my experiences. And something that seemed small that I brought up to him that actually meant a lot was around that same age. I can't remember if it was middle school, sixth or seventh grade, somewhere in there. There was a point where he was coming to school, picking me up in the middle of the day, every Wednesday, and taking me to get a haircut. And that lasted for, like I said, it was every week. That lasted for maybe 6 weeks, so like about a month and a half. And then he just stopped. Now, as an 11-year-old, I don't understand certain things like, oh, maybe his shift changed. You know what I mean? Maybe he had more things going on during the day where he wasn't available to do that. But the explanation, I never got an explanation. It just stopped all of a sudden, and then next thing you know, I don't hear from him again until high school. You know what I mean? So we talking 3 or 4 years of the last time we talked was you telling me, yeah, I'm on the way to come get you. You don't come, and then I don't hear from you again until you pop up at one of my football games. You know what I mean? So there were many periods during my childhood where he just was just nowhere to be found. And it was always like that. It was like that from super young, like I said, waiting on the porch for him to come get me, to college. There was, I mean, all throughout my life, he would pop in for a second. And it's like, you're my dad. It's not a pop-in kind of thing. You got to be there all the time.
With me to a place where you will find love and acceptance. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, you'll be redeemed with unconditional love. All you need, you believe, of self-worth, accept yourself, and love what is.
Did you talk to him about it then, like high school and college, when you could?
We had one fallout when I was in high school, and the way it went was, it was a football game. He came to it. We were playing a crosstown rival. And so it was a big game. And we lost. So my mom's in the crowd. You know, I think she was sitting like right above him or right below him or something. And he was talking, you know, just talking junk, basically. But it got too far. Like, it started going further, like past just regular junk talk, and it became them two going back and forth. And the way it was presented to me was two of my cousins were there with my mom. They come to me like out of breath, like, come get your dad, come get your dad. I'm like, okay, well, you know what I'm saying? What's going on? And then, so as we're walking for me to go figure out what's going on, here's my mom. She wasn't crying, but she had the stressed face that looked like she was so mad that some tears was about to come. And I'm like, okay, you know what I mean? This is my mom. I do not play about my mom. So I'm like, what's going on? So I get to him and, you know, I just approach him and I say, what's the problem? And he said, you tell me, what's the problem? What's the problem, mom? I'm like, okay. Like I said, this is how it's being presented to me. I didn't even see what was going on before that. I'm like, what's the problem? And he like, you tell me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what happened. All I know is my mom is upset. My cousins are upset. So what I'm going to tell you is you weren't here before. You've never been in my life. You don't got to come around now. And I said, you feel me? He said, no, I don't feel you. Tell him what you mean. What you saying? I said, you weren't here before. I don't need you to be here now. Do you understand? No, I don't understand. Tell me what you're trying to say. And everybody around me, because at this point we have a little crowd, you know what I mean? It's like a little circle. Everybody around me is like, he said it. What do you mean? I said, stay out of my life. I don't need you to be here. And he said, that's what's up. And he shook my hand. And I probably didn't hear that. After that, I probably didn't hear from him until I was like 15. I probably didn't hear from him again until I was going to college. So like 18. So like 3 more years. That's always the kind of stuff that I never understood, because with my kids now, I have little kids, 3, 2, and 1. But if my kids ever try to dismiss me out of their life, I'll give them the night. You know what I mean? Like, if they say, don't talk to me the rest of the night, they close their door or whatever. But in the morning, I'm going to say, you want some eggs? You know what I mean? Let's go get some breakfast. Whatever it is. There's no way I could just banish for 3 years. Like, that part is insane to me.
Right, yeah. So what's your relationship with him now? Like, since you both adults and, you know, like, have you or him thought of getting on the table and like talk and fixing things? Because
well, now our relationship is 1,000% better. It's more like the things were put out there, the way I felt coming up my whole life, all of that was put on the table. Like I said, we had a conversation right after the Triggered episode, and all of that stuff was put out on the table, and the conversation itself in the time wasn't productive because of our personalities. We are way too much alike is what the thing is. So when we're talking, me and him are talking back and forth, I'm getting my point across, and he's telling me something that has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I'm hearing what he's saying, and to me it sounds like excuses, but to him, it's just reasoning. But either way, you know, that actual conversation wasn't productive, but the aftermath of the conversation made things way better between me and him, because I think it made him see me as a man and as a father, and not just, because like I said, if you come in spotty like that, you won't actually see me develop. So you won't see me turn from a kid to a teenager and a teenager to a man. You just see me as the last time you saw me, you know what I mean? So if you saw me at 10 years old, and the next thing you know, you see me at 15, you're not seeing me as a teenager now. You're seeing me as that little kid. And I think that me and him having a real conversation and putting our feelings out there made it to where there was a bit more understanding of, you know, the past and why things went how they went.
So you say things are better 1,000% now. Do you mean like now he's a father in your life, or is he just someone else at work kind of a relationship? How's the relationship? Are you guys like having father and son things?
It's not quite like I would want a father. He's doing the best he can do, but it's not as low as like just someone at work. It's somewhere in between. Like, it's like a friend. Like we can talk. And then what helps a lot is that I have kids now. So it's different when you're a grandfather and when you're a father, because you don't hold the responsibility as a grandfather. You can kind of just enjoy those grandkids. And I see that, you know what I mean? He checks up on them. You know, it's not necessarily me and him talking so much, because we still don't, we talk, but we don't talk. Like, I talk to my mom every day. Like, of course, it's different to compare your relationship with your mom and your dad, but I talk to my mom every day and throughout the day. So I talk to her like a lot, but with him, it's just every so often. You know, I'll send him a picture of my kids, or he might invite me to some function, you know, 4th of July or, you know, Thanksgiving, stuff like that. He'll invite me to it. But I think it's just better that we're adults now. And it's not like me looking for my dad, because that's what it was before. And that's what caused like the anger and the animosity. Because I'm like, yo, where's my dad? Why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? But now I'm not expecting that from him. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different.
So where is your stepfather?
He's always available. He's just doing his thing. You know, he's working, and he has a couple more kids now, younger kids. But if you call him, he picks up the phone. Me and him, our bond is he gives me a lot of knowledge. You know what I mean? When I need some guidance about something, I can go to him because of how he looks at the world. He can be easily misunderstood. If you don't know him, you might think that he's just like, I don't know, like crazy or something. But if you know him, you know how his brain works, and he's brilliant. That's the thing. It's like he's almost too smart for the world, if that makes sense. Like,
at 100%, because I know, and I've seen that, and I've seen people talk about it, and I've seen it, and I've talked to people, the brilliant people of the world who create this one we're talking in the computer we have and the automobiles, they're the craziest of the world. They're the misunderstood of the world. And exactly. The normal people are the ones who are riding on the tailcoat of the crazy people. But then they are pushed outside and say, oh, you're weird, you're a geek. That's why they have word for them. You're a geezer, you're a geek, you're a weirdo and all this stuff. But they're the ones who have the 500 Fortune companies, like literally. So right, I totally...
Their brain is just wired differently in that way. Like,
yeah, I totally get it. Just like Einstein, he didn't have bunch of entourage and friends. Now we celebrate him, but he was a, you know, he was a weirdo, but now we celebrate him. But as he was leaving, probably people were like, there goes that weirdo, you know?
Yeah.
So, so what's the relationship with your stepdad and his son? Is your stepbrother is having the same issue as he did with your dad?
Well, that's my brother.
Uh-huh.
That's my stepdad, but that's my actual brother.
Oh, your actual brother from your... Yeah.
We share the same mom.
Oh, okay, so...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But you don't share the same dad.
Right. Yeah, right. So it's my real brother. Like, you know, we grew up in the same house, everything. But we just have different dads. But I look at his dad as my dad, is how uh-huh. it goes. But,
What's his relationship with his dad?
It's the same kind of thing. Well, let me not say it's the same kind of thing. His relationship is much better now with him, because my brother is 19. So it's a lot better now because the older you get, the more you're able to just like understand how things work, and you're able to like express how you feel about stuff. So you don't have to like I said, you're not looking for dad. You know what I mean? You kind of just, you know your dad. They're a lot alike. So it kind of helps in that way because my brother, he can get a little bit secluded sometimes. You know, he has friends and everything. He's still young, so it's a little different. But so he understands how his dad works. And the way that they interact a lot is like through video games. And it's the same with me and his dad. We might get on the game and play online, you know what I mean? All three of us will play sometimes. And that kind of stuff brings us together. And it sounds simple or maybe even silly to some people who don't play games, but that stuff is real. Like, you hop on the game with, like, if I hop on the game with my brother or his dad, we could be up for 3 hours playing. And it's just, we're just having a good time. And that's how me and my stepdad's relationship kind of started, and it's kind of where it's at now. Like, we just play the game together, and we might talk while we play. You know, I let him know what's going on in my life, and you just kind of bond like that.
Yeah,
it's the same with him and his dad, my brother and his dad.
Interesting. I grew up in a two-parent family home, and I did not have a close relationship with my dad, although I wanted to. He was my best friend, but he was kind of like, it's hard to explain. It's like, I would, in my imagination, it's like he's someone that I'm looking from afar, that I'm like, he's my best friend, but he's my imaginary best friend, although he was there. Because he was there physically, but not there emotionally and there for, I feel. And he has 7 children, so maybe he had too much of his hands, and I'm the last one. You know, sometimes they say the first one and the last ones get the short stick of the thing. So, but yeah. But I'm so grateful. Growing up and later on in high school and in college, learning that how a lot, especially black people, don't have father figures in the house. So it was very, I had to basically count my blessing and be like, you know, although I would love him to be my best friend and be my friend, but at least he's there physically. So I was like counting my blessing that way. But it would be nice if I had a relationship with him, which I did not. Yeah, so what is your relationship with your mother and your two dads?
Both of those relationships have gotten significantly better as the kids got older. And it's because once you take like emotion and misunderstandings out of things, and you're able to just talk as adults who share something, you're able to have a better relationship. So with them, they're able to, at this point, like, share moments. Like, now that I have kids, now my dad can look at my mom and it's like, oh, look at our grandkids. You know what I'm saying? And even my stepdad, like, because we're so close, he looks at my kids as his grandkids too. So it's like, oh, look at our grandkids. You know what I mean? So if nothing else, my kids definitely helped their relationships.
I was thinking, wouldn't that be so convenient as soon as you guys grow up, now there's a relationship?
Yeah, that's, I think like once you get the, I guess, I don't want to say pressure, but I guess it is kind of pressure. Like once the pressure comes off of them of, oh, you know, your kid needs this, your kid needs that. Like, they don't necessarily have to help now because grown functioning adults. So it's not, it's no longer looking for help. And my mom, she never necessarily needed help, but everybody can use help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's like,
yeah, especially when it's like, you know, y'all share a kid, so you should help. But
yeah,
it's like, you know, now that pressure's off, you know, I'm grown, my brother's grown. They don't need help. She doesn't need, like, help anymore. So now it's like, okay, hey, you know, we're cool now. Let's just talk about our kids.
Wow, your mother's strong.
Yeah, very strong.
I mean, at some point, even in me in my life, I practice for forgiveness and moving on and accepting things. That's like some deep stuff.
Yeah, she's taught me to not hold a grudge, because it's not going to do anything but literally, you know, in a sense, make you rot, because you're so worried about this relationship or how this person did you wrong, but nothing is going to change what already happened. So you can't really worry about, you know, what this person did to you or why a relationship didn't work or whatever. You kind of just got to move on and keep living your own life.
Yeah, totally. And, And I guess also, it does not mean, in my experience, it does not mean that you need to have that person in your life unless they change. Because I've had relationship where people with words are like, oh, I'll change. Or I'll come back. And then every time it's the same story. It's like, do you understand that your action speaks louder than your words? And some people don't understand that. And then so they are in your life as a hindrance or to push your buttons instead of to actually play their role.
Yeah, and benefit you. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, unfortunately, like with my dad, he had to kind of mature a little bit. Not saying he was, you know, not a man or whatever, but he kind of had to mature as a father and kind of realize, like, okay, you know, I kind of messed up right there, but now I can make, not necessarily make things better, but now I can just move on and let this relationship be what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about or talked to your parents about, maybe that's a product of environment, of because of, as we know, let me read it here. The statistics is like 67% of Black children do not have a father in the house. Like, do you guys talk about that? It was a product of environment, or was it an individual case?
Come with me to a place where you will find love and acceptance. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, you'll be redeemed with unconditional love. All you need is your belief of self-worth. Accept yourself and love what is.
Was his father in his life?
Yeah, because kind of like maybe his father did that, and there's been two dads, and that happens again, basically, because they're not. When I left my parents' house at 19 and a half, my sister, who stayed until she was married, like 30 something, and she told me how they finally separated because I was the last one to leave, and they were holding on, making sure we don't see those kind of things, and apparently they were not happy, and I'm very grateful for that. But as we statistics have it, 67, that's huge number. And and I see it, like, I think when I was going to high school, many, like, me having a father or a dad, I was a dinosaur, but it's not a dinosaur, but like a weird thing, like
a unicorn. Oh wow,
unicorn, yeah. So, did you guys talk about those things, or was it an individual case?
Well, how can I put it? Like, both of them, my dad and my stepdad, they both had their dads in their life, but they didn't. And rest in peace to my dad's dad. He passed away earlier this year. But
my condolences.
They weren't necessarily great examples for them. You know, they were there and they were in the home and, you know, married to both of their moms, but it just wasn't necessarily a great example of how to be a dad. And I'll say my stepdad was a great dad to me. You know, whatever happened with him and my mom is kind of the reason why he wasn't necessarily always there for my brother. But with my dad, you know, he was young. Like I said, my mom was 19 when she got pregnant. You know, had me at 20. He was the same age. So he was pretty young. You know, that's a kid having a kid. But in a way, me watching him kind of made me be a great dad. Mm-hmm. And also, I give so much credit to my granddad because I watched him be a great dad to my mom, my aunt, and my uncle. And also at the same time, he was a great father figure to me and, you know, my brother and my cousin, which is my aunt's daughter. And, you know, he did the things like he signed me up for football, you know, so I could, you know, play. And he signed me up for different sports and everything like that. And he would show up with my mom and my grandmother to all my school events, you know, little plays or, you know, singing in the choir, stuff like that. He showed up to that kind of stuff. And when you know, Christmas and everything, you know, he was buying bikes and all that stuff like that. So even seeing that, I'm like, okay, this is how you're supposed to do it. You know, watching him, I'm like, this is how you're supposed to do it. I watched him provide for the family. You know, my grandmother, she retired at like, I think like 50, or I don't even know if she's 50 yet. And from then on, I saw him run a business and at the same time still be the family man, you know. So that was a great example for me.
Well, it's great that you're breaking that pattern, because I feel that, and as a lot of people don't want to talk about it, because I've noticed online it's taboo and it's touchy, and it doesn't have to be. Like, if that's why one of the reasons I make the podcast, if we just let go of our fear about talking about that, let go of our guilt and shame and judgment for ourselves, those topics can be easy to talk about because they need to be talked about. How, if you're growing up in an environment that keeps happening, maybe in your head subconsciously you're thinking it's okay to do it, even you know it's not, but you're just gonna live like that because obviously it's happening a lot percentage wise. And it's great that you have breaking that, basically the lineage for yourself. You're like, okay, this is not good, I'm gonna do differently.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's amazing, and props to you.
I knew from a young age that I was never gonna not be there for my kids. I always have said, like, you know, regardless of how great a mother is, and I mean specifically to me, how great my mother was, I always knew you need your dad. And that's because you shouldn't have the feeling that I had. You know, like I said earlier, I'm 10, 11 years old, and I'm telling my friends, like, yo, I hate my dad. You should never have those kind of feelings.
Right.
And the only way to not have those feelings is for your dad to be a dad.
Right. And even if she could do it, as you said, like, she could do it and she did it. But just like, let's say if you're in a relationship and you have no children, even that, you need someone to help around when exactly. You're living with somebody. It's like, you don't need to, yeah. So, yeah, good stuff. Do your two dads have a relationship at all? Or they just stay away from each other?
Them two? Oh, nah. It's, they're, back in the day, there was actual animosity. Mm-hmm. I don't think that is there anymore, because there's no longer a woman in between. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's funny you mention that, because actually, when I keep referring to the same conversation me and my dad had, when we were talking, he was saying some things that was like kind of mind blowing. He was saying different little phrases like the way I brought you up and how I raised you. And I was like, man, I was like, you know, I told him, I said, I don't know if you are confused on my childhood. I said, but it was, you know, I said, like, it wasn't you, it was him. And that kind of set him off a little bit. You know, he didn't like hearing that, but it was the truth. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't in house, you weren't in home, it was him. And that led him to say stuff like, you know, oh, maybe that's why you are how you are. And I'm like, well, how am I? Tell me how I am. Because, and, you know, like I said, that conversation didn't end in a productive way, because it ended up being like me just walking out like, okay, you don't understand what I'm saying. And he did, you know, but, you know, if you're in a talk and you're hearing stuff you don't want to hear, yeah, you might throw some shots, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the first time hashing things out is
I don't want to say always, but often could be that way, because it's your first time and you need to vent, and there's emotions and there's fire. So,
right,
makes sense. So what is your podcast about? Can you tell the audience everything they need to know about the keyword is?
Okay, well, the keyword is it's my view on a lot of different parts of just general life. Actually, in my description, you know, I said I'll discuss my childhood, fatherhood, my views on different things, whether it's politics, whether it's sports. I have a segment on there called The Conspiracy Corner, where that's where I go ahead and let my brain just loose. I just talk about different little things that a lot of people believe or don't believe, and why I feel that a lot of things are all about money, and trying to kind of have smoke and mirrors to hide something bigger. And also on there, I give some inspirational stuff. My latest one, the one that's coming out tomorrow is going to be, I'm going to talk a little bit about stressing and why you shouldn't stress even when you should stress. Which sounds crazy, but I kind of talk a little bit about that, where, you know, we have a reason to stress over everything in life, but there are certain things that you can't control as much as you want to control. But at the same time, you do have complete control over your life, but you have to kind of let things develop how they're going to develop, because you can't force anything. You're dealt your hand, and you got to play that hand. So it's a little bit of inspiration in there, some sports, some music, all of that.
Yeah, I saw. Oh, so I, you, the music you played, if I remember correctly, that's your brother or your friend. What was it?
Yeah, my brother. He makes some songs. He's been making songs.
Nice.
Making music for a long time.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, appreciate that. He always sends me his folders of his music that a lot of times he wasn't really putting out there. Not for any particular reason, but he just kind of wasn't putting it out there. He puts it out there a little bit more now. And he's not necessarily a rapper, but like he's not like trying to be a rapper, but he enjoys music the same way I do. Like, that's kind of, I think, honestly, I think that kind of runs in our blood. Like, my granddad literally has records from, you know, 70s, 80s. He still got records that he kept in good condition that he'll play sometimes. And once he discovered YouTube, oh, it was over. He just can look up all those songs from back in the day.
Nice. And
yeah, it's crazy, man, like how much music does for us. Like we'll be at home, you know, it might be like a function, you know, 4th of July or Thanksgiving, whatever, Christmas. And once you put on some music, it's like the party started. Like, everything's all good.
Love it. That's great.
So it only makes sense that my brother would make music.
And I'm glad that he's doing that and he doesn't need to be a rapper. One of the reasons I did music as well is a way to, because I write a lot. And then I was just like, I can do music too. And it's a way to express myself. And exactly. If someone listened to it, fine. And if they don't, it's okay too. Because anything you do for you, I feel. And people 100%. get to just enjoy it if they choose to. It's not for them. And so the thing, one of my pet peeves is when people say, oh, you don't know how to sing or keep quiet about it. I'm like, who are you? I got a voice. And who says, even if my voice is not compared to, let's say, Michael Jackson or Hilary Duff, like, who cares? I have a voice, I'm going to sing. Like, I have a voice, I can talk as well. Like, even my Angelou, like, she was a great poet. And if someone said, okay, like, you don't look a certain part or your voice is a certain way, then she could be like, oh, if she listened to them, she probably would be like, oh yeah, you're right, and she kept silence, and we wouldn't have Maya Angelou. It's like,
right.
So yeah,
that's how I feel about my podcast, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I mean, every day, like, you know, in the car or around the house, I listen to podcasts all the time, and it made me want to start my podcast because I have things on my mind that I just want to put out there. And whether or not people listen to it, I think I have stuff in my head that should be out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And no one's like you.
I have the ability, so why not?
Yep. And no one is. I remember someone was saying, I was talking to her, and she was like, oh, it's already out there. And I'm like, yeah, but no one does it like you.
Right.
Like, exactly. You cannot compare yourself. You cannot stop yourself because it's already out there. Like, if I don't remember who was the first computer, but if the first computer started and someone said, oh, Mike is already out there, then we would have just one thing. And I do not like Apple. So, so I'm glad there's Samsung, because I've always had Nokia or Samsung all my life. I'm loyal like that. And anything else, I'm like, no, thank you. So, but they have them, and people prefer those other things. So you can't really say it's out there. And I'm glad that you're doing that, because I did listen to your podcast where you're saying how, kind of like similar thing. That's how I have my podcast. How you have things in your head, and you talk about it with yourself or with other people, and now you want to talk about it. And it's good. I saw, actually, this guy messaged me yesterday. He was asking me for advice. And I was like, I just started in September, so don't ask me for advice. I'm new as well. But I told him, if you want to hear anything, hear this. Enjoy the process. Don't be attached to the outcome.
Yeah, I like that.
Because as you, I don't remember where we met, if we met on the podcast promotion. Most of people on there are new, and they just like, oh, when do I get money? Oh, how do I get followers? I'm like, I understand if you're making anything for the an end game, whatever it is, could be for money or for recognition, whatever. If you focus on the end game, I'm not saying you won't get it, but at the same time, the process will be painful.
Yeah, I was gonna say you won't even realize what's going on while you're doing it if all you're focused on is the end.
Exactly, like. Of course, it would be nice to make money, but you know what? I'm enjoying this because I am talking to you. Like, you're someone I just met online. Like, how often do we do things like that? Like, walking down a street and be like, oh, let me just talk to this guy. Like, this is like amazing. And I'm hearing your story, and I'm putting my story out there. Like, I started the podcast just like you, just talking and putting my story out there. And as people listening, they were saying, I have a story to tell too. Do you take guests on your show? And I was like, okay, you know what? That's a good idea. It's like, as you going through the process, it will morph into something else. And so if you are just rigid about the outcome, then I mean, all power to you, but I think it's not the greatest thing to do.